Thank you. This is Sunday morning, July 22nd, 2018. The title of this is Living in the No Spin Zone. I can remember when, Bill Riley had a show called, wasn't it the No Spin Zone? At the time, I didn't know what it was about. I didn't, really pay any attention. I don't know that I ever watched it, but I just remembered. You could say this, the reason season is called the spin zone. We see a lot of this going on in our nation right now through the mainstream or the blame stream or the shame stream, whatever you want to call it, media. Discipline of the thought life is what we're going to talk about today. And you could say, the little word I had before this kind of fits in with this. The battlefield is always in your thought life. There may be natural circumstances coming against you, but the battle is in the mind. That's where all battles take place. The battlefield is in the mind. Now, Satan, he's the god of the sensorial world, so, he uses one of the five senses to try to get the upper hand in your mind. And the more balanced that we walk, the more he's not going to be able to knock us off balance. If we're teetering out here in extremism on each side, he can come along and knock us down like bowling pins. That's called double-mindedness. If you saw the broadcast this morning, I just kept going, leaning. That's double-minded. You're always leaning over here or leaning over there because the devil is able to come in and knock you off balance because he's used to using that senses of those senses of yours wherever he's ensnared you to pull you off here, pull you off the word, pull you off on this side. That's called the spin zone. What's a spin? Well, say the truth of the word of God comes and the devil begins to say, hath God said? There it is, right there in a nutshell. Hath God said? He puts his own spin on, hath God said? Hath he said? Well, he probably really meant this. You see how he tries to spin it. I was talking to Danny yesterday that Leviathan is called the twisty serpent or the crocodile, the old crocodile, and that I've watched enough of the Lone Star Texas Rangers, the guys, the Rangers that do the wildlife, yeah, fishing game, all of those. A lot of times in Texas, different places, it's against the law to kill them. It's against the law to sell their pelts and do all the stuff with them. And so people report, these alligators, now that they can't kill them and everything, they're just showing up places like around where they're docked and their houses are. And so they'll call these game wardens and they'll come out and they'll trap these crocodiles and they'll put that noose around its neck and that thing will dive and start spinning. That's what they do to their victims. If they grab something, they'll roll until they killed it. And that's what Satan does, trying to discount God's word and what God's word says about a situation or a circumstance so that he just spins and spins and spins it, hoping you will let go. You will give in. See, this is what mainstream media is doing, the Mockingbird media. I don't know if some of you may know, with the things that have been going on with Trump going to overseas and going to UK and talking with Putin, there's a lot of stuff that has happened, and the mainstream media are going ballistic. They are just nasty, the nastiest I've ever seen them. I can't watch much of it. I just can't. I think I watch one thing, and it just turned my stomach. And I said, Lord, how can they be so nasty? Because they spin the truth. They are They're doing this. It's like, here comes another allegation about paying a woman off back before, I don't know how many years ago, another one, not Stormy, but somebody else. It's like, is that all they can find on him? It's nothing legal. It's nothing that could even break the law. But this is what they're doing. It's like they are trying to spin whatever they can, spin a web to entrap Donald Trump, because everything they're doing is being exposed. I mean, it is coming down the pike, fixing to hit the fan, and they are just showing themselves. I'm thinking, are you 3 years old? I've seen two-year-olds act better than these people. I'm thinking, Lord, what's wrong with these people? He said, they're totally under the spell of the spinner himself. Pray for them. Pray for them that their minds won't be blinded anymore by the evil one. They don't know what to do. It's like they're crazy, absolutely crazy. And people are just going, wow, this is just so nasty, so crazy. These people are crazy. It's demonic spirits. It's Leviathan stirring things up and muddying the stream and trying to make a big stinky mess. Isn't that the way the devil is? I remember one time the Lord said, talks about praise, Psalms 8, it steals the avenger. That it's like spraying an aerosol on stink. Praise will neutralize the devil. Lord, help me when I see this to praise you. These people, I've never seen such nastiness in my life. It's just nearly unbelievable. They're just spinning. Spinning. Okay, the battlefields of the thought life. Satan is vying for your thoughts. He's wanting to win the war. It's in your thoughts. I don't care what's coming against your natural body. The battlefield's in that mind. That's just kind of the bait, if you will. Bait. What comes against your senses is bait. Will they take the bait? Will they take that thought sane? Or will they say, oh, heck no. I'll do it afraid or do it however I got to do it, but I'm going to just keep standing and I'm not giving up the fight. We have to stand up and say, no, this is a no-spin zone. I don't live anywhere but the truth of God's word. And sometimes you may have to stand for a while. Ephesians says when you've done all to stand, in other words, when you feel like you can't hold on anymore, it says tie a knot in the rope and hold on longer. That's what he's saying. Stand. When you've done all you can do to stand, stand. Because what is happening? Just like old Goliath out there, rah, and they all run for the foxhole. But here comes little David. Oh, heck no. I'm going to cut off your head today. Anybody had to have any opportunity to stand in this and walk in this week? All right. Thoughts undisciplined cause the fall. Thoughts that are not disciplined, you got to know who you are. You know, the devil always overplays his hand, and he is notorious for backing you into a corner to where you have nowhere to go. And what do? You come out swinging. He'll push you and push you and push you right into that corner. And you know what? The Lord will allow it because he says, punch him. He said, kid, punch him. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Quit listening to that devil terrify you and say those lies to you. He can't hurt you. I don't care how you feel. I don't care how it looks. He can't hurt you. Fear. Fear. Did you read your book? Do it afraid? Fear. This is Satan's motive operandi. It's his motive behind everything he does. If he can bring fear, he wants to terrify you so he can have his way with you. But when you say, there's no fear here. God hasn't given me the spirit of fear, but what has he given me? power, love, sound mind. Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty, or more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made. And he, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that God has said, 'You shall not eat from the evil tree of the garden?'" Do you know he has no new tactics? He uses the same old tactic on everyone. Paul said, "I'm concerned that when I go, just like the serpent deceived Eve, that he's going to deceive you too." That was his biggest concern. Well, it should have been, because that's really the only concern. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" What got her off the word? "But," the serpent said to the woman, "you shall not surely die." In other words, what God had said, he convinced her that it wasn't the truth. Isn't that what we do whenever we hear by his stripes we are healed, and then something comes, and before you know it, we're acting out in the flesh concerning it? Something convinced us, well, I guess it really wasn't true what God said. Isn't that what she did? That's what caused the fall. Thoughts not in line with God's word. Okay, now flip with me to Isaiah 55. You know what was so cool about Adam and Eve? They were born. They weren't born with the sin nature, and so they were born of God. They had God's thoughts and God's thinking, and look what the devil did to them. But I have good news for you today. Through the new birth, we have stepped right where he was and she was. When you're born of God, you're no longer walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you have the same victory that they had in the garden today. Not when we all get to heaven someday, today. See, they could choose. Who are you going to serve? People say, "Oh, I wish it was like with Adam and Eve, you know." Well, they messed up. They chose. To defy God's word and to do what the devil talked him in. He spun. So let's don't be saying, "Oh, I wish it had been like those days now." It is like those days now. Except it's better. Okay. Change your thoughts. This is Isaiah 55. We're going to begin with 6. "Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts." So you're going to have to forget your old ways and your old ways of thinking. That's what renewing the mind is, Romans 12, 1 and 2, not being conformed to the world. The devil's always going to take you back to the flesh, always. He loves fleshly extremes. He loves it. That's his deal. That's his game. "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord." We step away from God when we step in the flesh. Y'all understand that? Our walk with God is in the Spirit. When Adam, when he did what he did, God could no longer communicate with him. He no longer could even have anything to do with his son. Nothing. They couldn't. He had to wait till Jesus could come and redeem man back. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please in purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So he's talking about the word of God, what the word of God will do. He says, for you shall go out from spiritual exile, caused by sin and evil, into the homeland with joy, and be led forth by your leader, the Lord himself, and his word with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. All the trees of the field shall clap their hands instead of the thorn. When we step over in the flesh, we step back over in the sticker patch. Shall come up the cypress tree instead of the briar, shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, for an everlasting sign of jubilant exultation, a memorial to his praise, which shall not be cut off. What's he saying here? When we choose the way of the Lord, the cypress tree. When we choose the way of the flesh, thorns. Thorns. When we choose his word, the battle is won or lost by the thought processes you entertain. 2 Corinthians 10. That song, we're getting better, we're getting better. Better every day, better in every way. The more we can listen to God and not be moved, the better we are, the better we'll be. Now I want to say something here and do with what you want. A lot of people don't understand suffering, and they don't understand why we have to suffer and why we go through what we go through. But I'll tell you today, the Lord is overseeing all of it, and whenever you set your face to be trained as a warrior and to do God's bidding, and you've said, I'm sold out, Lord, I want everything that you have for me, as a soldier, he will put you in situations, and he's overseeing it so that he can see how you'll respond. The ultimate goal is he wants to see you respond as a soldier with your weapons. Now he's overseeing it, and it does say in the scripture he will not allow you to go through or put on you any more than you can bear. And I know we think we're pretty soft, actually. We think we just can't bear anymore, but I think, you know, when the rubber meets the road, we're a lot tougher than we realize. That's why you just got to take it a day at a time and stand your ground. Maybe minute by minute sometimes, or hour by hour on other occasions, but you have to continue to stand, because, you know, once you put him on the run and you get a taste of that, he knows once the jig is up, once you realize just how it works, he has no more power over you. You see these people that have done it for many, many years and have lots of victories, they've been where we're at. Paul didn't get from shaking off the serpent overnight. He went from Romans 6 and 7, 8 in there saying, Lord, what am I going to do with this flesh? God, this struggle I'm going through. Lord, get this off of me over there in Corinthians. Get this off of me, Lord. He went through those times till he finally goes, shake, shake, you know? Didn't happen overnight. Any more than when you go into the natural military, you go through basic training and you go through these exercises, and they put you through all kinds of things to make you tough, to where you won't run when you see the enemy. They put you in prison for being AWOL. When the enemy's there and you run to the foxhole, it's called treason. We cannot be traitors against our God. He's equipped us. He's overseen everything. There's no temptation taking you except as is common to man. And he's made a way of escape that you can bear up under it manfully. It's just basically calling Satan's bluff. If you ever get to the place that you're saying, I've had it. This is it. Okay. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they're mighty for God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. Now, if we grab on to flesh and blood, failure. Failure. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is that spin zone I'm talking about, the reason season. Satan comes to steal the word. And he will use situations to cause you to reason in your mind, to knock you off balance. That's like, I was reading Brother Hagin's little health food book, and he was talking about one time he woke up and he had, they call it Bell's palsy, but he had one side of his face was paralyzed. And he decided, well, Wednesday night I'm going to church, I'm going to have the pastor pray for me, and as soon as he prays for me, I'm going to believe and I'm going to receive my healing. And so that's what he did. He got prayed for. And afterwards, everybody was questioning him. Did the Lord really heal you? You don't look like you're healed. He went over to his girlfriend's house, or the girl he was walking home, and the mom of the girl said, well, you know, we know you have a strong constitution, you know, but, you know, you don't look any better. You don't look like you're healed. And this went on and on. But the next day when he got up, the manifestation was there. But he had to hold his ground because Satan had come to steal the word and reasoning, people reasoning, causing him, well, you don't look healed. It's because people are so geared to the natural. If you don't see in the natural, then you couldn't possibly be. They don't know that faith is in the unseen realm and it's manifested in the natural realm. You call for faith. You know, Jesus ministered to a lot of people and they pulled faith. Their faith pulled what they wanted right out of him. The healing virtue or whatever it was. Refuting arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ and beside the anointed one. I can remember times with our children. We try to stand in, you know, faith for our children, and of course, in-laws come along or outlaws, and they say, well, they don't look well. Anything to try to talk you out of the stand of faith. Of course, we were not strong in faith then, didn't understand faith. We were just trying to do what the Word says, didn't have much understanding about it. But, you know, wouldn't it have been refreshing if we had somebody that came along and said, well, we're standing with you, instead of trying to talk you out of it. They don't realize what they're doing. Okay, Matthew 6. This is stuff y'all know. Maybe this is just watering. No one can serve two masters. We'll just be back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That's miserable. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise me against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That's why I don't understand people thinking that the natural medical system is God's way. Now, I'm going to say this to you to qualify that. You may be praying and standing, the Lord says, go take care of this. You go. That's in the spirit. But just naturally, everything you do, you just go to the natural, because that's just the way you've been geared, that's the way you've been brought up, and that's just what you do. You can't serve two masters. The problem is they've tried to take God and adapt him into our fleshly way and make their own doctrines, their own beliefs. It's another system. It's not God's way. That's why he's draining the swamp. See, he can't work with flesh as far as that goes. He's not going to be present and operate if you're stepping out in the flesh. You have chosen. Satan is the god of the sense realm. And when it's got flesh involved, unless the Lord has directly said to you to do a natural thing. See, that's the difference. Not about Asa died with a disease in his feet because he sought the physicians over God. God may have said, well, go ahead and seek the physicians, but he didn't ask him. He just did what he thought was right in his own eyes. And he died. You know, in this day and age, we better be asking the Lord about things instead of just doing our thing, doing whatever we think, whenever we think about it. How's that been working for you? I can tell you how it works. Defeat, sorrow, anguish. Makes you feel like you don't want to get out of bed in the morning. But when the Lord says do something, what does it do to you? Ooh, it's like you're alive. Power. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink or about your body. What you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food and the body far above more excellent than clothing? Do you ever stand in front of the closet and say, Holy Spirit, what should I wear today? Do you do that? Do you ever stand in the pantry and say, Lord, what do I need to eat today? I do. Because I get to the point that, tell me, Lord, show me. You know best. You always know best. More times than not, he'll quicken me something. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure, cubit, to a stature, to the span of his life? And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. Then all these things taken together will be given you besides. So don't worry. Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. The kingdom of God is like a little child. Jesus said that. Little children. How do little children act? They don't care about nothing. They got a dirty face. Who cares? Wet their pants out there. They don't care. Jelly all over their face. Hand them a peanut butter sandwich and they're on their merry way, just enjoying life and playing and getting dirty. Y'all are smiling, but I believe that's the way the Lord wants us to be that. Carefree. Carefree people. Don't let nothing bother you. Just think back when you was a kid. I remember we couldn't wait to get out the door in the summer. We didn't sleep in. We'd get our little shorts on, we'd go outside, and we'd be gone from till they had to call us home, like the cows, playing all over the neighborhood, just having a good old time playing grocery store. And you know, I had Barbie dream houses, and I had every kind of Barbie gadget there was, and cars and clothes, and just spent hours and hours and hours and hours just playing and having fun. The kingdom of God is like a little child in their trust in God and in his provision for them. Little kids don't care. I'm talking about normal little kids, not little kids that have been traumatized, but just normal little kids. They're just silly and just... That's the way God wants us to be. Okay, Romans 12. Gonna read it. We just get too serious about things. You know what? You might as well relax, because it's going to be probably a pretty long journey. So if you learn to be carefree up front, then you'll be able to walk through all of it and get through it with a good attitude. I've been serious. It don't do anybody any good, you know. A lot of people, because I'm not a ha-ha-ha type of person, a lot of people think that I'm so serious that I must be brooding all the time. I've had people say, I don't have this big display of emotion, so they think that, what's wrong? I've had people say that. And I said, nothing, this is just me. This is just me. I'm not a ha-ha. To me, walking in balance is not a ha-ha-ha crazy. To me, it's just even, just pleasant, calm delight. Just a good attitude, just a balance, just walking through. That don't mean you don't laugh, but I'm talking about not crazy. Extremes, one end to the other. Okay, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated. Colossians says you're dead and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. And well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. But be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. So we read over there in Matthew about putting God's kingdom first above all. What God wants us to do. Putting it first place, not letting things get in the way. There are a lot of things in the world today to take thought about. Chemtrails, poisoning through forced vaccinations, poisoning of food and water, 5G, on and on it goes. I mean, can it really harm us? Can it really harm us? Now, I'm not going to go drink poison to find out, but you know what I'm saying here. Can it really harm us, or is it just the spin zone? Satan knows that he can't really do anything to you until he can get you to say something out of your mouth. He knows that what comes in the man, Jesus said, didn't defile him, but what came out of his heart. So, the propaganda alone, if it's out there and they're saying all this stuff is going on, is it the real truth or is it just propaganda? Is it just to get you to believe it and then start saying it? Is it the real weapon? It's the weapon formed, I believe. It's a weapon formed. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. Isaiah 54:14, I'm not sure what that says, but we're going to look at that. 54, 54:14. That may be when you walk through the waters. Let me see here. Nope, it's... You shall establish yourself in righteousness, rightness in conformity with God's will and order. You should be far from even the thought of oppression or destruction, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for she cannot come near you. 17, I read that earlier, but no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. As far as he's concerned, you're justified and righteous. Fear is a spirit. It's Satan's MO to control your thoughts. But faith is also a spirit. It's God's MO to control your thoughts. Satan's MO is fear to control your thoughts. The spirit of faith which we preach, this is God's MO. See, God's MO is to control your thoughts. Okay. All right, I said this to you, but we're going to go read it. This is Matthew 15. Verse 10. Now I want to get you to get a hold of this because people develop strongholds about what is good and what isn't good, what's clean, what's unclean, what will harm you, what will not harm you. And Jesus called the people to him and said to them, "Listen and grasp and comprehend this. It is not what goes into the mouth of a man that defiles him or makes him unclean and defiled, but what comes out of the mouth, this makes a man unclean and defiles." Okay. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were displeased and offended and indignant when they heard this saying?" Well, he answered, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be torn up by the roots. Let them alone and disregard them. They are blind guides and teachers, and if a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a ditch." And Peter said to him, "Explain this proverb, this maxim to us." And he said, "Are you also yet dull and ignorant without understanding and unable to put things together? Do you not see and understand that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the abdomen and so passes on into the place where discharges are deposited? But whatever comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this is what makes a man unclean and defiles him." The heart is the production center. Your heart is the production center. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, reasonings, disputings, and designs, such as murder, adultery, sexual vice, theft, false witnessing, slander, irreverent speech. These are what make a man unclean and defile him, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean or defile him." Now get a hold of this. If Paul got bit by a snake and poison went into him, what was the overriding factor in Paul's life? He knew that what come from the outside could not defile him. He knew that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made him free from the law of sin and death. He knew that he'd been redeemed from the curse. Now, I'm not saying go out and get poisoned to prove it. But I'm telling you, this is where Jesus walked. This is where Paul learned to walk. This is where the Lord wants us to walk. He doesn't want us worrying about 5G. He doesn't want us worrying about chemtrails. He doesn't want us worrying about GMOs and all the stuff that they could be putting in the food or maybe aren't putting in the food. Why? It's just a distraction. So you get your mind off the kingdom of God and you get into worrying, taking a thought sane. Oh, what am I going to eat? Everything's poison. I believe I can say with confidence today that the thought of all these things is the only deadly part about it. It is a narrative. See, the devil knows that your words contain power. He watched God create. And he's mad and upset because he cannot create. He can't do anything. He tries to mess up what God has done, to start what God has done, but he can't create anything. So he figured out a way to steal your words from you, because he knows you are made in the image of God and you have the God kind of faith. So you have the same power that God used. He gave it to you as a son of God. If Satan can get you to believe that narrative, you will take it and say it, and it's yours. It'll be by fear, not by faith. You walk by fear, you walk by faith. Taking a thought saying is walking by fear, or taking a thought saying is walking by faith. This is the real battle. We must discipline our thought life to the truth of God's word. 1 Peter 2:24 says, by the stripes of Jesus, I am already healed. A couple of days ago, maybe it was yesterday or the day before, I was really going through some things, and I just heard the Lord say on me, just remember, you really are, you're healed. And I just stopped and I said, you're right. You're right. I'm healed. It just changed the situation. Did the devil bully you? Okay, this is the narrative we must hang with. Brother Hagin said this, keep Satan in the spirit realm and you will defeat him every time. If you step into the natural, giving in to his thoughts, you will be defeated every time. That's his way. He stole the earth. In the name of Jesus, we can take it back. But in essence, the world is under a curse, and Satan is the god of it. If you step in the natural, giving in to his thoughts, you will be defeated every time. Think about what you are thinking about. Years ago, when I first started teaching, the Lord gave me that. Think about what you're thinking about. It's like bait. When he brings things for you, know it, you let your mind wander down that road. Don't let him do that to you. It's like a fish on the that just grabbed the bait and took off running with the bait. When symptoms come, oh, it's my pillow or my bed. Oh, I ate this or that. See the trap? It is crap. Okay, a few more scriptures here. Hebrews 12. It may come against you naturally, but it's your mind. Your mind. Are y'all getting it? Are y'all getting what I'm trying to say here today? 12:3. Just think of him who endured from sinners such grievous opposition and bitter hostility against himself. Reckon up and consider it in all comparison with your trial, since you may not grow weary or exhausted, losing heart and relaxing and fainting in your minds. That means to relax. To faint is to relax. You ever see anybody faint? They just melt in a puddle. They relax, all their muscles relax and just go to the ground. See, this is what Satan, he wants to have you faint in your mind. This is about disciplining your thoughts. One of Brother Hagin's greatest attributes, a very disciplined thought life. With a very disciplined thought life, he kept his mouth in check. All right, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions or by his precepts being set aside. He is not going to accommodate you if you step over in the flesh. You just might as well just, he can't, he won't. You choose your master. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. That's why a lot of people don't ever see answers to prayer. They'll pray, but the next rattle out of the bat, they're speaking the wrong thing and they're stepping over in the flesh and they wonder, why didn't God show up? For he who sows to his own flesh, lower nature sensuality, will also from the flesh reap decay and ruin and destruction. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting and acting nobly and doing right. For in due time, at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. So that means you're not giving in to the other side. You're holding your ground. Ephesians 10. It's about the thoughts. Ephesians 10, let's read it. We know these scriptures, but sometimes we just need another pass by the tower. See, these strongholds are coming down with each pass. Here comes another ding on it. We're dingbats. The Lord's getting the dings, transforming us, renewing our minds. Verse 10. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Lord just said, yeah, it's always the conclusion. Anytime you come to me about anything, here's the conclusion. Right here, Ephesians. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. That strength which His boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, or the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness and the heavenly supernatural spirits. So he says, here's your enemy. These are your enemy. Not flesh and blood, these spirits. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground. James says we're to resist the devil and he'll flee. Stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. In other words, don't faint in your mind. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. You're standing on the word here. And having put on the breastplate of integrity, moral rectitude, and right standing with God, having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with a firm footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news, the gospel of peace. Up here, when it talks about tightening the belt of truth, and breastplate of integrity, more rectitude, right standing with God, that's part of the reason season. Satan comes to tell you, you did this wrong. That's why you got this, or that's why you ain't healed. So I'm telling you, it has nothing to do with it. We're in training here. Satan is coming. And he will use the blame game, the shame game. I told you about the MSM or the MBM, the blame stream or the blame stream. What was the other one? Blame stream, mainstream, blame stream, shame stream. He will. He'll come and tell you, you missed it. You said something you shouldn't have said. Come on, it's his game. When are we going to ever get... God sees you as righteous. Having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace, lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the word of God. Pray it on all times, on every occasion, every season in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. He's a slippery snake. Something comes against you and immediately, I must have ate this. Or I must have done that. Do you see his tactic? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He's trying to get you over into that. Then you go embarrass yourself because I can tell you that I've done it. Well, this must be why I'm experiencing this. So I call this one and I write that one and I do these things, trying to make amends, make sure I'm walking in love, I'm doing everything right. I'm just, it's just nothing but a work of the flesh. Come on, this is hitting right where we need it today. Okay, who will win? Wait, don't let Satan's thoughts cause you to take that thought sane. Wait, God has a thought for the situation. Your best recourse really is to do nothing and say nothing until you know what you're supposed to do or what you're supposed to say. Okay, Isaiah 40. You know what's so great about the Lord? When He comes, a lot of people are like, oh, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It says when He comes, He brings His reward with Him. So when He comes, immediate reward. Does that sound like somebody that's sitting up there with a hammer ready to tell us, well, you said that wrong, ping. You thought that wrong, ping. The Lord just wants to twist you up. This is the spin zone. He wants you looking like a pretzel. If you look like a pretzel, you ain't going nowhere and you ain't doing nothing. You're so tied in knots over fleshly works and fleshly blame and fleshly shame that you can't even pay attention. It is so far from the truth. That's where that guilty conscience comes in that can easily deceive us. You can't listen to that. You've got to listen to what the Word says. Okay, 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, and His arm will rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His recompense before Him. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and will gently lead those that have their young. He's ready to come. He's bringing His rewards with Him. Man, He's ready to bless. I've told my kids before, don't turn Nana down. You're liable to get blessed. If you refuse to go somewhere with me, you just missed a blessing probably. If I want to feel that way about my kids and grandkids or anyone else, my sister, my husband, how much more so our Heavenly Father? He's the shepherd that leads us beside the green pastures. Well, the Lord will break your leg, you know what I'm saying? We need to know just how loved we are, and He sees no shame or blame in us. He doesn't condemn, and He's not telling you, well, you missed it there. I'm not saying the Lord will never show you a place that you maybe need to correct something, but you usually know it immediately, not later. He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in His arms. He will carry them in His bosom and will gently lead those that have their young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, marked off the heavens with a 9-inch span, closed the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord or as His counselor has taught Him. Do you know what? As natural men, there's just some people that you love, and it don't matter what they do. You just love them, despite all their faults. And that's what the Lord's chosen to do. What He's doing with us, He's training us. He allows things to come. He oversees it. And He's watching how you're going to respond, because He's training you. Let's get out of this, well, I did something wrong, I ate something wrong, I slept wrong, I did this wrong. It's just that that's the devil's game. That's not God's game. As far as He's concerned, you've never done anything wrong. How can He say that? Because Jesus took it all, the shame and the blame and the sin and the, for all time. Does that give me a license to sin? No. But it gives you a license to be free and to know His love. It takes the works out of you and just the receiving. Okay, nothing out there can harm you. Isaiah 43. Verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt to the Babylonians for your ransom. Ethiopia and Seba, province of Ethiopia, to exchange for your release. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you, I will give men in return for you and peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, where they are dispersed, and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth. For everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, whom I have made. Bring forth the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the peoples be assembled. Who among the idolaters could predict this, that Cyrus would be the deliverer of Israel and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and acknowledge it is the truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know me, believe me, remain steadfast to me, and understand that I am He. Before me there is no God form, neither shall there be after me. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's for us. He's not against us. He's not blaming us. He's not shaming us. He's already said yes and amen for whatever. He said it's just a good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Whatever. Whatever. He's given us the keys to the kingdom. How many of you know if you've got the keys? To me, that says, I want that house. I got the key. I want that car. I got the key. That's the kind of Heavenly Father that we have. Let's quit accusing Him. Let's quit accusing Him. Because that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to get all wrapped up in that God didn't do a complete enough work. You still have to depend on yourself. Watch every word you say. I remember Joseph Prince nearly went crazy repenting all the time. People made fun of him. He'd play soccer and he was a goalie and he'd miss the ball because he'd be repenting because he thought a bad thought or he said a bad word. I know that seems silly, doesn't it? But the devil tried to take his mind. He was convinced for a while that he had committed the unpardonable sin, and he'd stand out there witnessing, believing that. Winning people to the Lord, thinking when you get to heaven, tell the Lord, please have mercy on Joseph Prince because he had committed the unpardonable sin. Do you see how crazy that is? But this was valid to him. This was a stronghold in his mind. It's no wonder God has him teach grace. I remember whenever we lost our little twins, we had some well-meaning friend come and say the devil did this. You know, well, the devil did, but she made me feel like we did something wrong to cause it. And see, that's the way a lot of church people live. It's God is just blaming and hammering and judging and meh. No, He's doing that to the wicked. He's not doing it to His children. He's going to judge the wicked. But He loves them. Whatever He does is righteous. Okay. 50, verse 17. All right, there's there's not a 17. It must be 7. For the Lord God helps me. Therefore have I not been ashamed or confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that it shall not be put to shame. Satan has a bag of tricks to gain entrance into your thoughts. Here we go again. You're sick because you said something bad about someone. This is happening to you because guilt, shame, blame, it's a frame. All right, 1 John. Oh, if we ever get a hold of the love of God that He has bestowed on us. Oh, Lord, give me more love. His love's already shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. These sick people, these sick, especially these liberals that are just out of their minds. I said, Lord, give me your love for them. Mm-hmm. I disdain them. But give me your love for them. Show me how to pray for them. Show me how to bring the light into that darkness. They have to be the most tormented people. I think they're acting like lunatics, like they can't control it. And I believe that's the truth. I believe Satan has flat. You can just live like a reprobate for so long, and you'll just give yourself totally over to satanic activity. They are, you know, I heard someone say that instead of standing against these people and not liking these people and showing displeasure concerning these people or speaking things that aren't right, we need to pray the mercy of God upon them. Something has to, they have to see something that makes them want to come out of that. See, that's what the gospel's about. It's showing the love of God to people, God's love in us to people, to where they see something, maybe a miracle or something, and they see, oh, I've been looking for that all my life. Something's got to make them change. Not, well, let's just take them all out, hang them all. Well, some of them are going to have to hang. But I think God's way would be that they'd all come to repentance. That's what He wants for them. Okay, 1 John 1, 7. But if we really are living and walking in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin and all its forms and manifestations. I believe we walk in continual cleansing. We don't have to keep a list and make sure we get it confessed out. Righteousness consciousness versus sin consciousness. I'm forgiven because He was forsaken. It was a Petra song, wasn't it? Or it was a song. Petra sang it, I think. I'm forgiven because He was forsaken. Okay, Hebrews 4. We're all over the place, but we needed to be. Hebrews 4:11. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter the rest of God, to know and experience it for ourselves, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience into which those in the wilderness fell. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the mortal spirit, of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. So when this is going on, what happens? God's going to show us what's flesh and what's spirit. And not a creature exists that's concealed from His sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Inasmuch as then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in Him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. So he knows what we're going through. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. You know, if you have done something to offend somebody, when things come, we need to go to the Lord about it. And if he says go apologize, but don't apologize if he doesn't say to. I've made that mistake, made a dead gum fool of myself. See, that's as much the flesh thinking you got to fix it. We can tell where your strongholds are, can't you, today? They're standing out like a sore thumb. See, the Word of God will bring the truth out. Let us see things the way they truly are. Okay, let's keep going. It's not about what you have done or not done. It's all about what Jesus has done. That's the only thing that matters. All right, 1 Peter 4. Beloved, do not be amazed to be bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, unusual, and alien to you and your position were befalling you. But insofar as you're sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice, so that when his glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph exultingly. This is part of walking in his footsteps. If you are censured and suffer abuse because you bear the name of Christ, blessed are you, happy, fortunate, to be envied with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions, because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit of God, is resting upon you. On their part, he is the, well, I'm not going to read that part in italics, but anyway, the Spirit of God is resting upon you. This is spiritual warfare. Satan has come to steal the word. He wants to control your thoughts. It's the only way he can really harm you. Okay, I already got that. When the snake came out from the heat and fastened on his hand, what saved Paul? What he thought. If he thought it would kill him, it would have. The truth he knew made him free. Romans 12. He knew the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made him free from the law of sin and death. He didn't allow his conscience to swing him to thinking wrong. Romans 8:11, what does that say? Let me look at that. I wrote that down, not sure. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's part of that. I was thinking about John on the Isle of Patmos, how they had tried to kill him. And if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ from the dead will restore your life. Will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable body through the Spirit who dwells in you. Jesus' body was quickened from the dead. Galatians 3:13, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. Paul disciplined his thoughts with God's thoughts. This plain and simple. He learned to be disciplined in his thought life. Okay, keep going. I thought I was nearly done. Okay, then we're going to look at a few scriptures David told Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. And you, Solomon, my son, know the God of your father. Have personal knowledge of him. Be acquainted with and understand him. Appreciate, heed, and cherish him, and serve him with a blameless heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and minds and understands all the wanderings of the thoughts. If you seek him, inquiring for and of him, and requiring him as your first and vital necessity, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So he's talking about seek the Lord first. There's the where you'll get the wisdom to do what you need to do. God can't pick up your plan. I'm sorry, he won't do it. He won't do it. All right, Psalms 94. 18. When I said my foot is slipping, your mercy and loving kindness, the Lord held me up. In the multitude of my anxious thoughts within me, your comforts cheer and delight my soul. Okay, Psalms 119, 113. I hate the thoughts of undecided, double-minded people, but your law do I love. Proverbs 16:3. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. Isaiah 55 says, let the wicked man change his thoughts. James says we're to ask for wisdom, but ask in faith, because the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Don't think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay, Matthew 5, this is something that Jesus said. 27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who so much as looks at a woman with evil desire for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. What is this saying here? It's saying it's the thoughts. Now, somebody ponders those thoughts, they'll put action to it. The act of adultery really precedes the thought of it. That's what he's talking about here. It's not just a natural thing. It starts in your thought life. Premeditated. The Tower of Babel. What they thought, their plan was a good plan. See, they thought what they thought. God had to go down and scatter. Because they were taking those thoughts and saying, and they all agreed for evil. God didn't think it was a good thought. Premeditate, to think about and revolve in the mind beforehand, to think, consider, or deliberate beforehand. Premeditated is characterized by fully conscious, willful intent and a measure of forethought and planning. Premeditation, an act or instance of premeditating, specifically consideration or planning of an act beforehand that shows intent to commit that act. Premeditated failure or premeditated victory. This is where the battle really is. That's what Satan comes and brings that thought as bait, getting you to try to take it. But a disciplined mind will immediately go to word zone. So, no. Discipline is training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. This is what God's doing. You're not experiencing these things because you're doing something wrong. He's training. Chastening. Hebrews 12 talks about he chastens you as a son. And chasten there means to educate, discipline, or correct. You are in training. Don't let Satan cause you to reason. What if this has come against me? There must be a reason. Abraham, it says about him, human reason for hope being gone. Human reason causes hopelessness. God finally gave him the promised child. When he finally stopped reasoning and stood in faith, he hoped in faith that he would become the father of many nations. Stay out of the reason season and go right to faith. Take the 11-day journey instead of the 40 years. It's up to you. Stay out of the spin zone. If y'all need to take a